Father, we ask that your word will resonate with our hearts this morning. And Lord, it will be established forever in Jesus' name. The reason you are sending forth the word this morning into our midst, Lord Jesus, may it be accomplished in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we lift up every child in the house. Even as we share this word concerning them and even concerning ourselves, we ask, O Lord, that the lives of these children will never be the same again in Jesus' name. They will be the Daniels of their generation in the mighty name of Jesus. They will excel in this land. Lord, you will mark them for a difference in the mighty name of Jesus. They will be an example to the world. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. Please, Brother Tosha, you know my voice is deep already. So, yes, please. Amen. We are looking at spiritual home training, part one. Spiritual home training, part one. My apologies because I don't have this teaching on PowerPoint. So please, you are going to follow it with me using your bulletin. So we are talking about spiritual home training, and we are talking about the part one of it. Can we quickly look at the memory verse? The memory verse for today, which is taken from Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. I'm sure we are all familiar with it. Can we quickly go? We're going to say it three times, the Sunday school style. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Can we go? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Once again, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Lastly, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So we say we should train up a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is heavily loaded. And I'm sure that our lives are replete with examples of people who have had contact with the Word of God in their childhood. Particularly in this place, I've had encounter with a lot of people, particularly in my private practice, who come in and they say, look, they will complain. They will say, my parents, they were harsh. They were too terrible. They did this to me. They forced me to go to church. They did this. They did that. They do, you know. And one thing I find that is common to them is that many of them achieved so well in life by reason of the upbringing they had. Even though they blame the upbringing for some minor problems in their lives. But not only that, I found out that such people never have peace until they go back to the things that they have been brought up to know. So, in other words, the word of God that we share with people, that we share with our children, that we share with our family, they are seeds sown. We may not see them grow right now, but the truth about it is that they will eventually grow and they will bring off fruit. Thank God for the children who learn quickly and follow without wasting time and deterring. So the Bible is saying this morning that we should train up a child in the way he should go, of course, is the way of the Lord. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. We are going to quickly read a few Bible passages. Can I have somebody read from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 to 7? Read loudly, please. Praise the Lord. I hope the children are listening here. As the Bible is instructing, it says, "Hear, my sons, the instruction of a father, and pay attention in order to gain and know intelligent discernment, comprehension, and interpretation of spiritual matters. For I give you good doctrine, what is to be received, and do not forsake my teaching." So God is saying, don't forsake my teaching this morning. Hear the word that is being spoken to you. I'm sure those of us who are adults, we can look back and remember some of the things they used to tell us that we thought our parents were not smart enough. And if we are not careful, those things will still be occurring in our lives if we don't make amends. They will still continue to happen. So, every child that is hearing me this morning, this is an opportunity to hear what God has to say concerning the instruction that comes from our parents. He said, it's so important. Of course, we believe and we know that our parents will be teaching us the ways of the Lord. And the Bible is saying, as they teach us, we should pay attention to them. What did the Bible say we should do? We pay attention to what our parents are teaching us. And when they teach us, how do they know that we pay attention to what they are teaching us? How will our parents know that we are paying attention? When we do them. Even to little things. Little things. Like parents telling us, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. We think they don't know. We think they are not smart. They are smart. It's because they have crossed that road before. They know the bumps. They know the problems there. And that is why they are instructing us not to do it. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 to 3. Praise the Lord. I'm sure we can relate to what has just been read to us. It's part of the things that we are supposed to be training our children. The world is full of what? Selfishness these days. Nobody wants to do anything except there is something to gain from it. The Christian family should not be so. That is basically what we are being told this morning. Knowledge in the Lord, wisdom in the Lord, instruction in the Lord, all those aspects. We are going to quickly look at some of those aspects here. And of course, you know, one of the things that children that I found out that parents struggle with, I'm looking at cleanliness as a topic. Do you know that one of the things that I find out that parents struggle with? It doesn't matter whether you are yellow, green, red, black, whatever. Particularly children in their adolescent years. It's almost a universal phenomenon that the parents talk about the rooms of the kids. How they leave everything, everyone, you know, and just jumble it together, and you tell them to put something somewhere and they will not do it, and so on. This morning, we are learning from the Word of God that it is one of those things that our parents are supposed to teach us. Self-organization. And I'm telling you, if we don't learn to organize ourselves now, when we become adults, it becomes very difficult. You'll be surprised the kind of shock you are going to receive if, say, you gain a scholarship and you have to go to another country to study, and suddenly you find out that there's no mom and dad there to clean your room for you. As you leave your room, when you come back in the night after studying, you find it exactly the same way, you know. So why is this important? It is important because there is no instruction that God has guided our parents to give us that is too little, that is too insignificant. And I'm sure many of our parents give us instruction based on their own experiences, areas where they have made mistakes, areas where they have had achievement, areas where the Lord has dealt with them. So please, let us listen to them and do it so that we don't have to go through the same thing they have gone through. Let's quickly read a few of the passages here. Let's look at Psalm 24, verse 3 to 4. Psalm 24, 3 to 4. Praise the Lord. So, and that with God, the cleanliness is through and through. It's not just the external cleanliness, it's also the internal cleanliness. So that what people see outside is a mirror of what we are inside. And what we are inside is a mirror of what we are outside. You know, there are some people who say this, and I don't necessarily believe it, please. They say cleanliness is next to godliness. You know? But it's really good for our own. If we really want to serve God, if we really want to retain our strength, if we really want to retain, you know, and be there to do the will of God, we need to take care of ourselves. So it's not just cleanliness. It's also learning self-organization, learning to rest when we ought to rest, learning to work when we ought to work, learning to play when we ought to play, so that our life is balanced. So that our life is balanced. Let's look at Genesis chapter 18, verse 4. Praise the Lord. Many of us children, our parents have to go through the checklist when we are going to school. Mommy will have to ask, did you wash your face this morning? Did you shower this morning? Have you brushed your teeth? Have you put your socks back in this thing? Have you taken your this thing from the bathroom? Our parents have to go through all the checklists, you know? Otherwise, we will not do them. So what we have been told this morning, and I tell my kids, I said, look, when you see that something is good, you don't need anyone to tell you to do it. When something is good, anything that is good, that's what the Bible says in Philippians, something of virtue, something that is good, something that's praiseworthy, something, you know, anything that is good, you don't need anyone to tell you. You don't need instruction. Once it's good, do what is good. Do what is good. And of course, it's not just to the children, it is to us parents, one, not to give up. And every time I speak to parents, I discover something. that we are not alone. And I come back and tell my wife, I say, look, I tell you, don't shout, just have, you know, keep your peace. I say, look, everywhere I go is the same story, is the same story. So I believe God is encouraging us this morning not to give up, that when we say it, you know, oh, I've said it 10 times and they still have not listened. And I said to people, I said, look, if saying it once is enough to produce that change, we don't even have to come to church anymore. The day we became born again is the day we will have been washed, sanctified, and, you know, and that will have been it. We won't even come to church. Some things God has had to say to us 100 times. 100 times before we even, you know, before we wake up one day and say, no, but God has been saying this. You know, and it just click. So sometimes it's like that with our children. So God is encouraging somebody this morning. One of the other things that we need to be teaching our children is humility. He said, humility, according to contemporary dictionary, is the state of not thinking that you are better than other people. Humility is one of the important etiquettes of Christian homes. But let me tell you something. Will you agree with me that humility is not the etiquette of the world anymore? It's not. You cannot achieve in a company except you are ready to put yourself out there and to tell people that how you are better than the other people, that you are a performer, that you can do this, you have that strength, you have that ability, you have this connection, you have... Humility is not... I was thinking about it over the week. And I found out that everything that Christianity is asking us to do is actually the opposite of what the world is. The way we are going to get our own promotion is different from the way the world will get their own promotion. The way that God is going to prosper us is... the principle of the world is to save. Put aside and do this and plan well and do something. But our God will tell us, he say, give. You find out it's just the opposite. The world will tell you that when somebody hits you, if you don't finish him up, then you don't rest. But what God is telling us is that when he strikes us one cheek, we turn the other cheek. It's just so opposite of the world. To the extent that I started to ask myself, do we see it as a way, you know, Christianity, do we see it as a way of life? Or just a way of refreshing ourselves? God wants us to teach our children humility. I'm telling you, you agree with me that it's not easy. It is not easy. Oh. People will take advantage of you. People will think you are stupid. People will think you don't know what you are doing. People will, look, they will call you all sorts of names. But it is not easy. But one thing I've known is this, and I've seen in the lives of people, is that people who can be consistently humble, it may look like they are going down, 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 down. Eventually, when people realize that they are who they are and there is consistency, the eventual way is up. The eventual way is what? Is up. It's not you who will then promote yourself. God will then promote you. So, God wants us to teach our children humility. He said, in the name of modernization, some parents do not raise their children to greet their elders or to humble themselves before them. My children, you know, I always say, please greet people when they come to our house. When we meet them, we say in the church, please greet. So if you don't greet anybody, it's not because we have not told you. It is because you have not listened. Greet. No, it's true. We say it, we quarrel over it. Greet. When you say, good morning, uncle. Good morning, auntie. Good morning, this person. It's good. And with a smile, too. Don't let people know that you have been coerced to say it. Smile with it. Good morning, uncle. Good morning, auntie. Good morning. You know? Praise the Lord. So, we have to be different from the world. And God is expecting us to raise our children differently from the way the world will raise their children. He says, some in the name of culture disrespect elder forgetting that culture is the making of man, while the Bible is the truth that must be followed by all cultures and races. Any child that lacks home training provides unnecessary negative exposure to his or her parents. If you are humble, there is nothing that you desire that you cannot have. Abraham got his promised child, and Lot escaped the destruction of Sodom. Now, I want us to, particularly for us who are immigrants, there is a tendency for us to want to imbibe the culture. And we imbibe it. Look, there's nothing wrong in imbibing the culture. Picking those aspects that are good. Okay? Because definitely there are things that are good about the culture. Picking those aspects that are good. Transparency, truth, accountability. Let's imbibe those things that are good. But I'm telling you, there are some things that are not good. And we don't have to imbibe those ones. They don't have to be the way we live our lives. And honestly, the truth about it is that even some parents are not showing the examples. Some of us parents, maybe way back, we know how we used to bond for the Lord, the way we would comport ourselves, the way we would dress, the way we would do things. And when we get here, we will just do things, anyhow. And what do you expect that the kids will do? Eventually, they will do that. And we may not like it when it starts to happen. So, please, God wants us to teach our children humility and teach our children his ways. And God, we anoint their hearts to be retentive to those things that we will instruct them to do in Jesus' name. And God will also give us everything that we need, the physical strength, because I'm telling you, it can be very exhausting. Sometimes when you have to say something 5 times, 10 times, it can be exhausting. You give us the physical strength, he will give us the wisdom. He will teach us parents to keep quiet when we should keep quiet, because sometimes we just need to keep quiet. And the children will learn when they try it out and they get some results. So long as they are not going to, it's not going to kill them. It's not going to harm them in a major way. Sometimes we may just need to keep quiet and let them learn to trust their own judgment. Once you have said this once or twice and they still think that that is the good thing to try, I'll keep quiet. Sometimes they have to learn too. So God will just give us the right balance, and how to deal with them in Jesus' name. Let's look at Genesis 18 verse 2. Amen. Abraham entertained strangers. And that was how God, sent those people to deliver the message of the promise to him. And you know what? Children, when our parents say share, we don't even want to share with our siblings. Not to talk of sharing with people outside. I know somebody who ate about 13 or 14 chocolate Disney wraps. And when I asked, why did you eat all those chocolates? He said, because if I take it to mommy, mommy will say, take it to church and share it with the kids. Praise the Lord. No, we must learn to share. No, it's very important that we learn to share. We tell you to share. My children, they know. I tell them, share. You have to share. It's not, you don't just have something and you keep it to yourself alone. I said, many of us parents here, we have relatives at home. They are not here to see what we have or know what we, and we'll remember them, we'll send something to them. That is sharing. They are not here to even demand for it. But you remember that they may not be in a comfortable position as you are in, and you send to them. If you don't have that kind of ability to share, way back, when you get here, you will forget, you will give excuses. Let me tell you, resources are never going to be enough for anybody. I can dress better. I can eat better. I can travel and holiday better than I'm doing right now. It's true. But it's because I've learned to share that some things will have to go, you know, in order for other people to benefit from what God is doing in my life. Praise the Lord. I hope the children are hearing it, and the parents too, that we are telling our children to share. Praise the Lord. And it's a way to blessings. Because God will not bless somebody who will have something and retain it for their own loss. Let's look at James chapter 4 verse 6. James chapter 4 verse 6. Praise the Lord. So God gives grace to the humble. He promotes the humble. And he does what? Does he just leave the proud to do his own thing? No, God fights him. When he's pushing in one direction, God will push in the opposite direction. And you can never win against God. He doesn't just leave him to do his own thing. He says he actually resists him. God makes an effort to stop the proud. God will not resist you in Jesus' name. God will lift you up in the mighty name of Jesus. Lastly, hospitality. Hospitality, that is being able to, you know, to take care of people, to do good to them, you know. And we are being taught here that it's not only, because sometimes we just look at it, we say, oh, the reason people share back home is because they are poor. No, we should not share just because we are poor. We should share because God has said we should share. So it doesn't matter where you are. Whether you are in Australia, England, you know, that we should share. And I always say something that will, one thing I believe will help us is that when we should share with little or no expectation that somebody is going to give back to us. Because that's what brings a lot of disappointment. So when we should share without expecting that that person will bring back to us, will give back to us. Otherwise, we are going to be disappointed. He said, hospitality is part of home training lesson that parents should give their children. Children should be taught the evil of stinginess and blessings of generosity in Christian homes and the church of God. Some ministers of God do not really know that hospitality is an important duty in the ministry. Abraham, Lot, and David were a good example of hospitable people in the Bible. If you are stingy, the cup of water you cannot give can rob you of precious and very costly blessings. You could entertain angels without knowing. So it is possible, and we could entertain Jesus without knowing. Because Jesus himself said on that day, when he was thanking you for the water you gave him, he said, Lord, when did I give you water to drink? When you provided shelter to somebody, and Jesus is thanking you for it, and you'll be saying, Lord, when did I provide shelter for you? So that everything we do for the next person, we are doing for the Lord. Let's quickly read Mark chapter 9, verse 41. Mark 9, 41. And Luke 6, 38, the popular one. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So, the Bible is telling us that if we will give even an ordinary cup of water in the name of Jesus, he said we will not lose our reward. And I've told us the only reason we should do all the things we are talking about here this morning is because we are children of God. It's not because we are nice. No, let's not do it because we are nice. We should not do it because we want to be seen. We don't want to do it because, you know, you know, as is the tradition in the world, to say, oh, send something to the poor places, send something to this thing. But our own reason, the main reason we are doing it is because we of God. So that it can be recorded into our account in heaven. So let's do things because of God. Let's look at Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Praise the Lord. When some people read this place, in this particular area, they think it doesn't encourage planning. That is not true. You give because God asks you to give. And what is left, you can still plan with it. And when you plan with what is left, God will cause blessings to flow. So we can be Christians, invest, have business enterprises, and still give. Let's look at Proverbs 11:24. Proverbs 11:24. Praise the Lord. So, these are the principles that God is asking us to teach our children. And these are not worldly principles. They are completely opposite what the world will teach. The world will not tell you to scatter. The world will tell you to do what? To gather. And the Bible is saying there is one that scatters. But if you don't scatter, there is a way to scatter and increase. If you scatter in the name of God, you will increase. There are people who scatter by going to the pub. There are people who scatter by buying, by going to the TAB. There are people who scatter by all sorts of things. It will never increase them. But there are people who will scatter because God asked them to scatter. And the increase we are talking about is not to be measured only in financial terms. Only in material terms. In conclusion, spirituality without home training can make Christianity unattractive. How reasonable is it for children to call their parents and elders by their first name? Let us go back to the Bible days. Praise the Lord. So, how reasonable is it for children to call their elders and their parents by their first name? I remember a pastor was invited to one of the churches in Perth, and we were there. I was talking to the congregation. I said, "You just call your pastor. You say you call him by name. You say Dave. You are. Yeah, it's not Dave. You know." And I saw everybody just. You know, we are godly people. And the only reason we should do what we are doing is because God has said so. If it is because of man, honestly, we will not do it. But let's do it because of God. Please let us, I don't know. If the children have any questions, maybe we should just give them 1 or 2 minutes. Children, do we have any questions? Feel free, just ask. Maybe you've seen some things happen in school. Some things have been told you. And you're wondering, you know, you and your parents are saying, oh, this is what you should do. And it's against what they've told you in school. And you are confused. You don't know which one to do. Ask now. So we can talk about it. Because sometimes what they tell you in school is different from what we are telling you at home. So, and I can appreciate the confusion our children, you know, experience. Okay, please, can we just rise up and pray this morning? I want us to lift up every child in this church. Every child in this church. Let's lift them up to the Lord this morning and say, Father, we ask, O Lord, for your hand upon every child in this place, upon every child that is connected to any of us in this church, that God's hand will be upon them all the days of their lives. Even as we have studied about their need to follow the instruction that the parents will give in the name of God this morning. Because parents, they are representatives of God in your lives. So let's just ask that God will touch them, that God will touch every child, that when they talk about our children, that God will distinguish them. They will be different from